BYU football with Kalani Sitake for a second consecutive season. The Cougs have opened the season 3-0. Now, after a perfect non-conference slate, Big 12 play gets underway with a Saturday night catfight. And we're breaking it all down with Kalani and special guest Blake Mangelson next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Hello, 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 good evening. Great to be back. Thank you all for being here. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building here on the beautiful BYU campus in Provo, Utah. It's our week 4 edition already of BYU football with Kalani Sitake. We are live and on demand also via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's broadcast, we will take a look back on Saturday's win at Wyoming. Then we will preview BYU's Big 12 opener with the Kansas State Wildcats this weekend. Quarterback Jake Retzlaff joins us inside the film room. Deep Blue profiles defensive end Ephraim Asiata. Defensive tackle Blake Mangelson is our live in-studio guest, and some Q&A with Blake and Coach Sitake, and a weekly BYU football trivia question coming your way as well. Let's begin tonight's show by bringing in the man who has led BYU to a 3-0 start. For the fourth time in the last 5 seasons, this week, he leads the Cougs into season number 2 in the Big 12. Please welcome back in the head coach of your BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. My friend. And Hazel Hemuli, our lay girl, is back today also. Wonderful. Welcome back. You know, Temp was snow-capped today.
Yeah.
The weather is turning, and now we get to talk about true fall football weather.
I got the hoodie on, you know.
Yeah.
Still going with the shorts because my legs don't get cold. It's just upper body.
You've always been resilient that way.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
The toughness is in the legs.
How does it feel, though? The season does feel to be changing a bit out there.
Yeah, I mean, after leaving Laramie in September, that was beautiful. I mean, that we talked about it after the game, and it was a cool experience. A little hostile with the crowd, but I mean, it was cool. We had some really cool interactions with the fans afterwards too. And yeah, I wish them the best of luck, man. But it was a lot of fun to get back to that stadium. It's way different than what we remember.
Yeah.
when we were younger.
Exactly.
But yeah, but I was really pleased and happy with the way the guys played the game.
Yeah, you get a lot of support when you're the only game in town, as Wyoming football is there in that state. But then, of course, BYU fans always show out, and it's a drive for a lot of fans. And so a lot of royal blue in the stands. And it was a great night.
Yeah, and the fans are awesome, no matter where we are at. But in Wyoming, it was really cool. I mean, I thought it was really significant that, you know, K-Pop, he's from Wyoming.
Evanston, yeah.
That we were able to get that kickoff return. And he's been planning that. He's been waiting on that and just happened to be in his home state. So I know he was fired up and excited about that. And things are starting to move. We're starting to see some really good improvement. I like the way the team, I like the trajectory that we're on, and I'm looking forward to this game this Saturday.
You know, when you brought him back as a special teams coordinator, he knew how long it had been since BYU had a kickoff return for touchdown. He thought last year would be the year, and in fact, Keelan did break one at West Virginia, but it came back on maybe a phantom flag, and then he finally got one this year to stick. It was fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, that one, we learned from it, you know, and I think if you watch the kickoff return team, they're really careful not to block in the back and not to get a holding call. I mean, I think maybe that's a little bit of the hesitation is for us to break one. And Keelan's been struggling with some of the returns before that one. And we just told him to have faith and just trust it, man. You got to trust your brothers to block for you. And everyone's got to do their 1/11th. And when your time comes, it's going to hit like that. And I think this can really get some momentum for us in the return game and with special teams. We can get the most out of that group. I think it'll be really good. And I think Kelly Papinga's he's done a great job at game planning and scheming so that we can always put our special teams at an advantage.
We'll see highlights of that return in a bit. So you finished the non-conference slate, and this kind of looks like the formula now moving forward, right? You play an FCS, G6 team, let's call it now, and a P4. You had the FCS at home against Southern Illinois. The Power Conference team was SMU on the road, and then you played the Group of 5 or Group of 6 team, Wyoming, away. And next year's schedule is set. You've got a Portland State, for your FCS, you've got East Carolina for your G6, and you've got Stanford for your P4. So have you found the formula you plan to go forward with?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key is what we've been focused on is that you respect your opponents and you plan for not looking at the level of play that they are, but looking at the opportunities that you have. You have 12 guaranteed opportunities to play this game. And so really want to be at our best in all 12. I felt like last week was our best game of the year until we play Saturday. And if we keep working that way and keep improving and fixing some of the mistakes, the ones that are very fixable and work on it this week. Today was a great practice for us. And so I think the guys are motivated to keep that momentum going and finding ways to keep improving. And that was another example of the guys believing in each other and having faith in what we're doing. And that's what you do off the field. It transfers what you do on the field. And I think they're really well connected. I like the way this group is working.
Do you remember how you felt or what you felt going into your first Big 12 game in Lawrence last year, as opposed to how you feel heading into your Big 12 opener this year with K-State? Any differences?
Yeah, I mean, when you watch the film, you could see the style of play. Obviously, we see that there's a lot of great athletes, and it's a ranked team. So Kansas State, really well-coached team, but they're ranked, and you can see that they're talented. And so our guys know that the room for error is very small. And so we need to be on top of all our things, and that's from the coaches and from all three phases. We need to play clean football, and I think we'll be in a really good spot. I have a really good feeling about the way our team works and the way they improve. This is a different team than what people are anticipating from last year, but that's okay. We just want to show it, and I don't really want to talk about it too much other than just getting out there and getting the work done. But these guys have shown that they're going to get better every week, and the coaches are we're all in the same boat. It's not like the coaches have all the answers. We're trying to get all this stuff figured out as we go along.
Now that you've been through it, how does it feel to be a Big 12 football team in your
Yeah, team? It feels great. I mean, we went to Laramie, and you kind of just feel this in the air that just people know that we're a different looking team than what they're used to. And I mean, Texas Tech went into Laramie last year around the same time, and they lost the game.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think our guys, the mindset, their focus was razor sharp, and we went in there, and it wasn't pretty always, but like I can't complain. I didn't feel like we weren't in control. Just felt like we could have capitalized and done some things earlier. But I like the way the guys finished the game, and I like the just sticking with the game plan, and it just worked out the way that I wanted it to. And that's us coming out with the victory and feeling comfortable and getting some young guys some reps.
We'll let you talk about our highlights as we take a look at them. For a second consecutive season, BYU has swept its non-conference slate. The Cougs got to 3-0 with a 34-14 win at Wyoming on Saturday night. Let's look back at some of the highlights presented by Waystar. The Cougs and Cowboys at War Memorial for the first time in 15 years. BYU's first offensive possession does end with a pick at the goal line, but a 3-and-out, a punt out of the end zone, and it was a short field for BYU, and here's what the Cougs did with it.
Yeah, great plan right here by A-Rod and the coaches. And, you know, we were marching the ball to that interception, so they put them on the one-yard line. So if you're going to throw one, I guess you can throw it when it pins them deep.
Chase Roberts had a big night, one of his six catches for 129 yards on the evening. At the end of this drive, Cody Epps gets his first touchdown in almost two calendar years. Good to see him back in the end zone.
That's awesome. And then you talked about Chase with the catch, but Chase on the block right there, he does all the little things right. You can see him holding off the guy. I mean, as long as Cody just keeps his feet, we're going to be fine and get the score here. But he might have been a little too excited.
Sometimes it takes feet and a hand to get into the end zone. Not too many big plays for Wyoming on this night. That was the longest completion of the night to a tight end who got his first catch of the evening on that play. Evan Svoboda is a big fella. He got a rushing touchdown. It was a 7-point game there. But then toward the end of the half, Jake Resloff would find Chase Roberts, and soon after, Will Farron would find the range for a field goal. And again, you get to use Will late in the half to give yourself a boost heading into halftime.
Yeah, we felt good about moving the ball. Just like to see more touchdowns than field goals, but we know we can count on Will to get it done.
All right, you won the toss, and we know you always defer, and so you deferred to receive the second half kickoff, and this was how the second half began.
Yeah, just really happy that Keelan trusted it, and you could see he was just running a little bit with more determination to make that cut, and it worked out perfectly. And I mean, he did run out of gas a little bit, so a little bit more conditioning for him. We're going to do that again.
Yeah, but a good place to run out of gas is at the goal line.
That's so, right, yeah.
24-7, BYU with the lead. Little special play here, and Pokai gets involved with a throwback to Retzloff, and Jake goes downfield to chase another great grab.
Yeah, that was a wonderful catch. I was telling him not to stand over the guy, but Chase, he's not like that. Chase, he's always done things the right way, and I think he was just really excited about that catch. He should be.
One sack on the night for either team, number 17, getting number 17, Jack Kelly with the TFL. Evan Svoboda is a big fella. He's 6'5", 245.
Yeah, and he got rid of the ball early most of the time, and so we weren't really able to get him in the backfield. But that's okay. We felt like we made some plays, got some TFLs, and held the run game to a minimum.
Keanu Hill is a tough player. Didn't make the catch. Took a hard hit. They reviewed it for targeting. It was confirmed. And I think, thankfully, Keanu's okay.
Yeah, he's tough, man. He cleared all the protocols, so he'll be ready to go this weekend.
Jake Retzlaff is BYU's leading rusher on the season. Almost had a 100-yard night in Laramie, but a penalty took back one of his longer runs. This is a pretty good run, though, of 28 for Jake.
Yeah, just I like the ball being close to his chest right there, and we can count on him to run the ball if we need him to.
After a holding play, backed up a bit, and he finds Darius Lassiter.
Yeah, I mean, that Jake's a good athlete in the pocket, and glad Darius didn't take that dance too far.
But that's okay. BYU had one takeaway on the night. It was Evan Johnson getting his first career pick. Nice play.
This kid's done a great job getting himself ready to play, and he's had his first starts this year, and the sky's the limit for him and his abilities.
You see, the Cougs were cruising at 34-7, and the reserves came in the game, and against those reserves, with the first stringers from Wyoming still in, they scored the final points, your final score, and this one ends up being 34-14. Celebrate going to 3-0.
Yeah, that wasn't my fastest jog, by the way.
You were running the 40 there.
Yeah, just stop putting the camera on me when I'm trying to jog across and hurry and shake hands. So that's...
Okay, note to the camera operators and the editors out there. All right, final stats, you take a look at some of them there. BYU more than doubling up the Cowboys. The defensive numbers are outstanding for you guys through three games.
Yeah, really happy with the way the defense is playing. Really consistent, and we're using a lot of bodies. We're rotating a bunch of guys, and part of the development of the defense is getting those young guys the reps. So that last drive, I think it went 70 yards. So I mean, they got a lot of their yardage on that last drive, but we had a lot of guys in there making mistakes. I mean, we had guys that stumbled and fell when they would have had an interception, things like that. It's tough to sacrifice some yards and things like that, but it's going to pay off in the long run for us.
And it also, in the short run, helps keep some of your mainline players healthy. Fewer reps means less chance for injury.
Yeah, and then just keeps, I mean, all the guys that are working and practicing, we know that we can count on them. A lot of them are just one play away from being in the game. And if you know, tragedy should strike and guys get banged up and hurt, we know that we can count on our depth.
Been a good three games, though, for the most part. No real serious injury. Sure, you want to get your running backs back as soon as possible, but that's going to be a committee for a bit. But for the most part, I think from strength and conditioning to the way you guys have prepared for the season, it's been a good opening month.
Yeah, and it just feels different. It feels different than than last year even. Just the presence on the field and the way we controlled games, it just felt better. And we had a close one with SMU, and we know that we can improve and do things better in all three phases, but we're right around the corner from getting that done, and I'm looking forward to making that happen at home. It's good to be, I mean, we've been back-to-back weeks on the road,
yeah.
So it's good to be back home, and what a great time to do it. We welcome a ranked team into our home, and let's see what happens late night in Provo.
You are the only Big 12 team that has a 2-0 road record right now, so it is nice to be back home for sure. Through three games, he is one of the most productive quarterbacks in college football, and he has led BYU to a 3-0 start as the starting signal caller. Tonight, to look back on the win at Wyoming, Jake Retzlaff joins our Jerem Jordan inside the film room.
All right, Jake, nice game at Wyoming, man. How'd you feel about it?
Thanks, good. A lot of good things. Of course, some things to clean up on for sure, but a lot of good things.
Okay, let's break down some of the goodness. Keanu Hill walks in for a touchdown.
Yeah, this is fun. This is a great play design. This is Coach A-Rod getting in his bag. Something we have a little bit of a play action. If you watch Keanu, he's actually just blocking down here, blocking down, and then leaks out at the end. So it's man. So basically every defender's got a body on offense, and his guy gets lost because he thinks he's blocking. The unsung hero of this play is actually Miles Davis. What he does here is he runs his wheel, and then he blocks this guy into the end zone so Kiwo can walk right in. It's something that's never going to show up in the stat sheet, but is a great job by a veteran like Miles to see that and give Kiwo a walk-in touchdown.
That's what we break down here in the film room. Good stuff. Okay, the halfback toss back, 30-yard completion to Chase Roberts was fun.
Yeah, this was cool. It was a cool little trick play, specialist play. It's part of our offense. We've been successful at them so far. the fun part about this play is Pokai, who's in on this play, won the competition on which running back could throw it the most accurate back to me.
So there were two quarterback competitions, if you will, this year. The running backs, two pass it back.
Yeah, so this week, I forget what day it was, but we had to figure out who could throw it the most reliably, and he won the job. And he was super excited about this play. You can tell, because at the end of the play, he's the first guy celebrating with Chase. But yeah, this was as clean as we thought it'd be. We thought Chase would honestly be wide open here, but his man defender did actually a really good job staying with him. But one-on-one, it's still hard to guard Chase Roberts. That guy makes a lot of great plays. And so I threw it up there, and Chase made an incredible catch.
Okay, you've been more a part of the run game the last three halves now. This is your longest rush of 28 yards.
This is a good job picking up the pressure by the O-line. These guys pressure a lot of different ways. You can see I fake clap here. I get the Mike backer to show his blitz to try to help the guys out up front so they can see these kind of things. But yeah, this is just a little play action here. Just kind of navigate the pocket. We knew on film that a man team like this, so there's a lot of opportunity for quarterback run in the scramble game, and so just try to make a play here and protect the football and get a good gain. I think I should have scored, honestly. I think I probably should have juked this guy right here at the end of it. But, you know, 28 yards is pretty good too, so I'll take that.
Then near the end of the third quarter, you connect with Darius Lassiter for a 20-yard touchdown.
Yeah, this was fun. We actually kind of overload the boundary here. Right here, I'll pause it right here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 eligible receivers in the boundary. And so you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in the boundary for them, which kind of leaves Darius all alone on the backside here. The front side play is probably a touchdown. I get a little pressure here, so I got to kind of escape that. Waylon does a good job running him by afterwards. And it's great when the O-line can run the guys by and create a nice pocket for you, which they do here. If I had been able to keep my eyes to the front side, you know, this probably is a touchdown to Keelan Marion. But I scramble to the right. Darius is wide open. He's waving his hands at me like, why don't I have the ball yet? And so I just throw it to him, and he steps one step in the end zone, and, you know, Darius with his celebrations are elite. So
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I got to add those to College Football 25, maybe 26 for next year.
Yeah, they do got to add those.
How do you navigate the space between being aggressive and your style of play, which is exciting and fun to watch, and also trying to protect the football that Kalani Sitake talked about last week?
Take care of the stinking football.
It is a balance, like you said. The key is just keep playing your game, but just, you know, don't make bad plays worse, and make sure you protect the football at all. That's the number one thing, is protect the football. You can't score without the ball, and when they have the ball, they can score. So the more the offense is on the field, the less they can score, and the more we can score. So making sure you just secure the football, run with the ball high and tight, make sure you make good decisions on the field, throw the ball away when it needs to be thrown away, but it's also fun to improvise and make plays happen. And so doing that, living on the edge is definitely fun, but be able to also be smart with the ball is equally important.
Okay, big game with Kansas State, number 13 in the country, the Retro Unis, night game on national TV. What are you looking forward to the most?
Being back in Lavelle. We've been gone for too long. It's going to be, 3 weeks since we've been there when we played the game, and so I'm excited to get the rock section back. I'm excited to get the fans behind us and go play Big 12 football. It's going to be a fun one for sure Saturday night.
Okay, good luck, and thanks for the time, Jake.
Yeah, appreciate you.
A lot of focus on Avery Johnson from K-State and what a good dual threat quarterback he is. But Jake Retzlaff has some of the best passing numbers in the country, and he can really move around as well as he's shown. These are two quarterbacks who can really do a lot for their teams going head-to-head on Saturday.
Yeah, and he's special talent. And I mean, he's still learning, and he's getting a better command of the offense, making better decisions. And you know, you want him to play perfectly, but we talked about it quite a bit. It's a difficult position to be the starting quarterback at BYU. You get criticized quite a bit. And so he's going to always be there to support him and just trust him. You know, I think it's hard to just expect perfection from everybody, but I want him to have fun and utilize the skills that he has, but at the same time, just know that he's representing all of us. And I think we can trust him to do that. He'll be better the more people keep believing in him. So I think he's earning that trust as time goes by. But it's okay to get criticized sometimes. You know, that happens sometimes, and it's okay. You can build some more character for him.
He's only 7 starts into his career. I mean, he's still really young in the job and doing some outstanding things already, I think. So.
Yeah, and I think he's making some really good decisions in terms of. But it's not, like I said, it's not perfect, but it's okay. He's not losing his aggression, and at least he's being concise with his decisions. It's not like he's sitting there hoping for something better to show up. He just knows where to go with the ball. You saw that when pressure happens, he knew to go to Darius, and And then he can also rely on his athleticism and speed to run if he needs to.
Special talent. Coming up this Saturday night, BYU returns to Lavelle Edwards Stadium for the first time since that season opener, as Jake noted. The Cougs welcome Kansas State to Provo for the first time since 1977. Of course, back when Lavelle Edwards coached his first ever game at BYU back in 1972, the opponent was K-State. Here in Provo. You see some numbers about the Wildcats. Again, they are ranked 13th. They are undefeated like BYU, so a pair of 3-0 teams. What a marquee matchup to kick off Big 12 play.
Yeah, Chris Kleiman's a really good coach, and they're a very talented team, and you can see why they're projected to be at the top of the Big 12. And so we get them here in Provo. I think we have a good advantage having them here on the road and coming to our house. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. I know the players are energized by it. I know the fans are excited, so it's going to be a party. It's going to be a lot of fun.
First question Coach Kleiman got at his weekly press conference was about altitude, so they're thinking about that. And it's a 9:35 p.m. kick for their body clocks. It'll be a long day for them. You're used to playing these late Saturday night games, so there are some things that you're quite familiar with that hopefully help the team on Saturday night.
Yeah, we're comfortable, and we're home. And so we might as well just go out, and we got nothing to lose. I mean, we've proved people wrong. I mean, everybody's guessed a lot of different things and predicted that we should win by so many points in the first game. We won more. We should get beat in the second game. We won that one. And then we should only win by a certain amount again in the third game, and we overcame that. So it's okay to have people believe in us, but then we also know we want to prove some people wrong too at the same time. There's nothing wrong with accomplishing both.
Should be a fun night Saturday night. Looking forward to it indeed. As we break, this is your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. With Spencer and Jaren, weekdays noon Eastern, BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will this week profile defensive end Ephraim Asiata. And defensive tackle Blake Mangelson will be our guest live in studio when BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. We're back after this.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics, Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. It is time now to get up close and personal with the Cougs in this week's edition of Deep Blue. It was Ephraim Asiata's dream to follow in his father's footsteps and play in the NFL, but a tragic shooting almost took that dream away. Despite many long battles in hospital operating rooms, Ephraim's will to survive and the love for his family helped see him through a dark time. This is Deep Blue with Ephraim Asiata.
Just a normal day at school. Me and my cousins just going about our day, and this is where it all happened. I lost my two little cousins, and this is where my life changed.
I get a phone call. It was my sister. What's going on? What's up? Heard her crying. She's like, "It's Fat Boy. What's going on?" He got shot. I didn't want to believe it.
When I went down, the police officers was told that it was a triple homicide. So, they were kind of taking their time getting to the scene. But in that moment, I guess there was a police officer there already. And, I let out a big old sigh while I was laying on the floor. That kind of let them know that it wasn't three homicides and that I was still, alive and ready to be taken to the hospital.
Walking down the hall, and I'm just screaming his name. And we saw him, looked in his eyes, he wasn't there.
Continue to be strong, son.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all we need is your faith, okay? You gotta believe it, okay? It's gonna come.
He couldn't talk because he had a bunch of tubes in. He just kept signing, like he just kept moving his hands.
What?
Matt was like, NFL? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, NFL. And we were like, oh.
I think that's when he started bawling.
Like, yeah,
he wasn't going to play football again.
Yeah, we were like, babe, we'll see. Like, we don't know. I remember sitting in there and we were just holding his hand because that's all we could do. And I remember telling him, like, okay, you can't leave me. You can't leave me. Like, I need you. Your sisters need you. Your brothers need you.
But at the same time, I didn't give up. I didn't give up on him. I didn't give up on our Heavenly Father. I mean, you can tell I'm at my lowest point in these pictures, but I know from what I can see, you know, this sad guy, this little sad guy was really just wanting to play football and just put on for his family. A 16-year-old boy at that time, I'm seeing all my friends, you know, live out their high school life. I'm just at the house. I look miserable. I don't look like me.
So you got a contrast where, hey, you're supposed to celebrate. You're getting your license. And he's here just saying, man, my vitals are normal, right? They're staying steady.
Thinking about everything I had going for me in the past. But, you know, at that point, I'd say that was my lowest point in my life.
Sometimes it was win the hour. There were some times where he just win the day. And sometimes there were times where it was just win the minute for him.
You know, we're a sports family, and all we do is sports, and that was my mentality, sports first. He kind of made us slow down tremendously. Like, you really got to slow down. This ain't about you, sports, or whatnot. You think of what's going on first. So I think that really humbled my heart. They told us that we would have been added onto the list for that transplant. It was going to take like 2 to forever years long to get. But with how high risk of what my injury was, I guess they just got to throw me on there first. So I only had to wait like 2 months.
That's when he had asked the question again, like, do you think I could play football again? But before that, we didn't even have to ask. The doctors were already telling him, like, hey, you should probably think of just other options, other things to do.
We were sitting there, and I remember asking the head doctor if I was ever going to be allowed to play football again. He went quiet for a little bit and just looked around, but then he did say, I don't see why not. Then me and my parents, you know, sat up in our chair a little bit, started looking at each other, smiling a little bit. I got the little eye from my dad. And after that, I just put in my head that it was go time.
Through that process of recovery, right, there was a lot of probably self-discovery for him, understanding where his courage is at, where his heart is at. As much as he had the supporting group around him with his mom and his dad, his siblings and community members and extended families, right, that individual battle is something that will really grow your bandwidth.
To still make yourself into a football player and a student that graduates high school early, I think that that's just a tribute to the kind of person he is and his attention to detail and his desire to want to get things done the right way.
He's a walking miracle, and I think everyone is just grateful that he still is alive.
It's like he never gave up. He pushed through all of it. If something came up, he's like, well, what do we do? And I think he actually pushed me more than I pushed him. I just can't wait to see what he's going to do next.
I'm very grateful for, you know, our Heavenly Father and this obstacle that he put me through. I'm just very grateful that I was be able to make it out alive, to keep doing what I'm doing, and to, you know, be the voice on this earth that Heavenly Father wants me to be. I got a whole nother story to write here at BYU, so here we go. Let's do it.
Ephraim's already got a lot of good reps this season through 3 games. Now when Cougar Nation sees him on the field, we'll know a little bit about what he went through to get into this spot.
Yeah, just a wonderful family, and it's an honor for me to be his coach. I coached his dad. Yeah, that's how old I am.
That's Matt, right?
Yeah. His dad, Matt, at the U, and so to have him here with us right now it's literally a dream. For all of us, you know, that we get to see him, and so God saved him for something, and he's doing a great job with our team, I mean, he's doing a great job playing football, but it's all the other stuff that he does, the service and the commitment to his teammates. That's something that you can't really put a measurement on, other than we love having him on this team, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do for us.
He's a defensive end. We had Tyler Batty on the show last week. He's a defensive end. Mm-hmm. They're not the same size right now. Is he going to grow into that, or does he have yeah. other positions he can play as he goes along?
He's a little bit of a hybrid, so he yeah. can play a lot of different positions. I mean, he's even athletic enough to play running back, and I did think about that a little bit, you know. But he's a pass rushing specialist. Like, yeah. he's going to make a lot of sacks for us and a lot of big plays. He's been playing a lot already in the three games, so. You know, for him to play as a true freshman, to graduate early and be here in January and work with our system, you could tell that he's starting to get more and more familiar with it. And his instincts and his athleticism, there's not a lot of people that can do what he does with his twitch. And it's a lot of the way he was raised. He has great, great genetics from his dad and his mom and with Tangi and Matt. And so I think he's going to do some amazing things on the field. But it's like, the stuff that he's doing off the field, I'm really proud of him. I love having him, the person, on our team. He belongs in our family.
Great story, and thanks for your thoughts on Ephraim. Well, in his first season at BYU, Blake Mangelson played in 7 games, all as a reserve. In his next season, he got into 9 games, 1 start. The following season, played in all 12 games, 3 starts. Now in 2025, we're not quite there yet. Now in 2024, he's an every game starter and one of BYU's co-leaders with 3 tackles for loss through these 3 games. Tonight he makes his Sitake Show debut. Please welcome into Studio C, defensive lineman Blake Mangelson. Hi, Blake. Good to see you.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it.
What up, bro? My man.
Great to have you here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Last week we had you on the show, but not in the studio. You were in the film room last week,
yes,
breaking
sir.
Stuff down. Did you yep. enjoy that?
Yeah, it was really fun.
You did very well. You did
yes,
really
thank
well.
Thank you.
Your hometown is listed as Nephi, Utah.
Yes, sir.
Is that a born and raised Nephi, Utah thing, or were you other places?
No, born and raised in Nephi. Yeah, yeah, it was fun, small town.
Yeah, and your high school would then be Juab, right?
Yep, Juab.
Okay. Kalani, when did you first become acquainted with this fella?
Well, out of high school. I mean, he was a big-time playmaker and had tons of plays for Juab. And it's actually funny because my son played against the 8th grade Juab team last week, and right when we got there, all we could hear was about Blake. Everyone.
He's a legend.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you know, he's a tough kid. I'm glad that he's getting the airtime because he doesn't really care to talk too much, and he's shy. And he makes his presence known on the field. He's done some amazing things for us, and he's always willing to help us out. And so a lot of times when he played, he hadn't redshirted, so he's played every year. Mm-hmm. Even as a true freshman, we've asked him, like, hey, guys got hurt, we need you to do this. And he was always willing to help the team. And so he's just got that tough man mentality that I love coaching, and we can always count on him. He reminds me of, like, the Brett Kiesel that I played with back in the day. And there's a lot of he was a small town guy too. He's from Grable, Wyoming.
Grable, Wyoming. Yeah, that's so, right. I mean, I was there last week. We were talking about Kiesel for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah. So Blake is right along lines of that. And we have NFL scouts every day coming to practice, and the majority of them are coming to see him too. So it's a really cool thing. He's a next level guy, and we asked him to play D tackle for us, and he's dominating up front. You guys see what he's done the first 3 games, and I can't wait to see what he does Saturday night. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Did you play other sports besides football growing up?
Yeah, I actually wrestled. So I was a state champion my senior year.
And the other sports, the ball sports, did they appeal to you, or are you pretty much wrestling and football for a long time?
No, just wrestling and football.
So when did you decide that you could zero in on football and make it something you could pursue at the college level, and when did BYU come into the mix?
Sure. Honestly, I never thought I'd be playing college ball. Growing up, it didn't come apparent until probably my junior year. My coach, Coach Bowering from Juab High School, came to me and he's like, hey, we got some coaches coming in. And yeah, then my senior year, I wasn't highly recruited. Got a couple walk-ons from SUU, Snow College, and then BYU came around. And I mean, it's a no-brainer to come up here compared to those other places.
When you're growing up, were you a BYU football fan?
Yeah, so most of my family were fans. My immediate family, We didn't really have a team, but I'll be honest, I cheered more for Utah. So
back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
Kalani, now that you have someone like him able to, you know, kind of man the inside with Big John there, how comfortable do you feel about that position with those two guys up front?
I feel comfortable with this guy in the game. I mean, he's one of the most trustworthy guys we got around. So I feel comfortable with him. Any task we need him to do, he's going to get it done. And that's whether you're on or off the field, he's willing to do whatever he takes. And I mean, he takes the players under his wing. A lot of people don't say the quiet one's actually the most effective, because he has like these really cool connections with everybody, and you can tell when people cheer for him when he was, you know, player of the game, things like that. I mean, this guy gets it done, and the team loves him. So I mean, you know, he's a business guy. You can tell he's like all about getting to work, but he's not afraid of hard work. But he's one of the most loving guys we have on our team.
You have been both a defensive end and a defensive tackle. You've been outside, you've been inside. What's been the change for you that way?
I mean, the biggest change is putting on weight.
Yeah. The tackles are usually bigger.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. So I've put on about 15 pounds now, so I'm about at 280 right now. But other than that, a lot of the technique carries over. And I've appreciated, like, moving inside. It's helped me understand the defense a little bit better. And, I mean, I'm still playing a little bit of defensive end as well.
Right.
So.
Your thoughts on a 3-0 start for the second straight year?
Oh, it's just exciting. You know, a lot of people counted us out this year and didn't have very high expectations. But within the football group, we knew what was going to happen. And we're just excited to go 3-0.
How'd you like Laramie on the weekend?
Oh, it was fun. Really fun environment. A little bit hostile. but, no, it was a good time. Laramie After Dark is a good time.
We know that Provo After Dark is a good time,
exactly,
too. How does it feel to have an 8:30 kick for K-State this weekend?
It's exciting. I mean, everyone knows Lavelle After Dark. It's a party, and I think we're going to have an awesome time playing, and I think it's just a perfect time for a ranked game like that.
Kalani, you've already talked about how stoked you are for getting back in the building this weekend for this game.
Yeah, I mean, the energy, you could feel it from the fans, too, and the team, they're feeling it. And we had a good day of prep today. You know, yesterday and today, the guys are, they work hard all the time. I told them to just enjoy it. I told them after practice today, like, you got to enjoy it, too. You know what I mean? It's a lot of fun. And when you saw it, I think the second half, the guys are having a lot more fun. Keelan's kick return did a little bit of that, but there's, I think the guys just got to really be able to live in the moment a little bit more and just have fun with it. I think these guys are going to be physical. We're going to be physical. It's going to be a fun game. And like Blake says, it's going to be a party.
Can't get here soon enough. A good, clean party. Yeah. Coming up next, we're playing Who Makes the Play? When BYU Football with Kalani Sitake continues. More with the coach and Blake after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to BYU Football. Presented by the coach and I visiting tonight with Blake Mangelson. All right, time for tonight's mini game show segment of our show. And this evening we're playing the game called Who Makes the Play? Okay, I know it sounds super intriguing, so I will explain it to you. Here's the deal. Tonight's game will test Blake's power of recollection. We're going to play the first half of a BYU defensive play during your time here at BYU. We're going to pause it, and you have to tell us who makes the play as the play continues. Okay, and we'll see if you're correct. You ready for this?
Yep, let's do it.
You understand the challenge?
Yep, yes, sir.
All right, play number one, roll it. Oh, earlier this year. All right, okay. Who makes the play?
Isaiah Banya makes a sack.
He seemed pretty confident about that. Yep. Let's take a look. Isaiah Banya with the sack. Nicely done. That's how it works.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There it is. It's Isaiah Banya. A little slap of the ankle and gets the sack. Very good. That's play number one. He's one for one. All right. Play number two. Play number two. We're going to queue up play two. SMU. What happens next? Who makes the play?
Me and Harrison Taggart make the play there on the edge.
Again, there just seemed a high level of confidence there. We continue this through. I see Taggart. I see Mangelson. There it is. And Tyler Batty's hanging around at the end. But, yeah, Harrison Taggart down low, and or rather you down low, Harrison up high,
yes,
and you
sir.
Make the TFL.
Yep.
Very nice. So that's a TFL, and he's 2 for 2. This is really easy for him. Play number 3. Let's cue it up. Play 3. Who knows what's going to happen here? That seems very generic. What happens on this play?
I might have to get a replay on that one.
Can we do that? We're going to ask our tech people if we can actually, because what we might do is we might hit pause and then, oh, here we go.
There we go.
This is SMU. It's a 3rd and 2. So it's a pretty important play here. Kalani, you want to help on this one? Does it ring a bell?
I'm not sure.
This seems like so long ago to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you can either take a pass or take a guess and we can throw you, show you what happens.
I'll take a guess. One of the backers comes up in. Stops it.
Okay, let's take a look. I think it ends up being. I think they gave it to Josh Singh.
Josh Singh?
Yep. They gave it to Josh Singh with the stop on 3rd and 2. Do you think that's fair? They gave it to Josh?
I'd give it to Josh.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, number 99 on the ground. So Josh Singh with a tackle on 3rd and 2. Play number four. And I think this one just comes from last week's game. It does. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Kalani says, oh, yeah. What do you think?
This is Jacob Robinson should have got another pick.
Are you agreeing with the coach on this one?
Yes. Yep.
All right, let's roll it and see what happens. Jacob Robinson with a PBU. Might have been pick number 9 for him on that.
Yeah, he knew he should have caught it. I think he had his hands wrong with it, but...
I think it would have been pick 10, actually, because the other way, it's a pass breakup for Jacob Robinson. So, yes, they team up to guess properly Jacob Robinson. Let's go to play number 5 now. Play number 5. And this is going to come from just last week again. Again, not much to tell here, Blake. What do you think? Who makes the play?
Jack Kelly with the sack.
Off just those very few clues, he says Jack Kelly makes the sack. And Jack Kelly makes the sack. Jack comes through for the TFL. Well done. And fine, and we'll see it one more time. Well done. Pretty much acing this experience. Our last play 6, we're going to take you way back to 2022. Double overtime against Baylor. And this is like the ball game. 4th and goal. They've got to score a touchdown. Who makes the play?
I want to say it's a DB and the quarterback overthrows him here.
Okay, but let's give yourself some credit on this one, can we? What do you do?
I get in his face.
There we go.
And he overthrows
him. We're looking for a hurry here.
Yeah,
we're looking for the hurry. There it is. Mangelson in the face of the quarterback. It gets skied through the end zone, and BYU wins it in overtime. Yes. There it is. Here comes Blake. Yes, he had to throw it with the mangler in his face. Oh, by the way, I do call you the mangler sometimes. Is that okay?
That's just fine.
Okay. I didn't ask for permission, but I've been using it for a while. I like it. Hand seems to like it, and so I keep using that. I don't use it all the time, but it's okay if I keep using it, right?
The coaches use it. So.
Okay, good. All right. Because if someone doesn't like a nickname, I tend to back off. But sure. you approve of it?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Okay, great. After this break, we'll have in-studio Q&A for the coach and Blake Mangelson, the mangler. When we have some BYU football trivia as well. Stay with us. BYU football with Kalani Sitake. More of it after this.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Smarty, address data wizards. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
Studio audience for our weekly Q&A segment presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We've got the mic set up. All we need the questioner to do is give us your name and your question for whoever it is you want to talk to.
Craig Zimmerman, this one's for Coach. So Kansas State has shown an ability to turn teams over quite a bit on their defensive side. Any special emphasis this week in practice with your ball carriers, your quarterback, working on trying to win that turnover battle?
Yeah, that's what we've been focused on quite a bit, even with the defensive players. When Mangler picks a ball off, I expect to see great ball security from him. So that's part of our culture, is that we want to take care of the football and make wise decisions when we're throwing it. So all those things matter.
What's top of mind for you when it comes to K-State and what they present in terms of challenges?
Of course, they've got a great quarterback. We got to stop number two. But I think for me, it's just be physical with as the D-line. Stay physical up front, affect the quarterback, and I think good things will happen.
All right, question number two, sir.
So, Blake, you're from Nephi. You mentioned two sports, football and wrestling, good, great sports in Nephi. You're a cowboy, too, I believe. Did you ever do rodeo? What events did you participate in? How many championship buckles do you have?
So I don't know if I would consider myself a cowboy, but I have worked on the farm. Like I mentioned, I have a bunch of family in Levan, and they own a bunch of land and farm out there. But I didn't participate in any rodeo stuff or anything. But honestly, I think it would be awesome. Yep, no buckles.
He's 6'5", 280 pounds. I don't know how many Cowboys rodeo people can do that. I don't think a bull wants him to jump on his back.
Yeah.
Your BYU bio says you enjoy ceramics, true?
Yes, in high school I was a ceramist.
Okay. Anything that's still around the house?
We should ask his
yes.
wife.
Yeah, my mother-in-law and wife are nodding their heads.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got all sorts of stuff around the house.
I love it. We have time, I think, for one more question. Go ahead.
My name's JC Hadderly. So I play high school tennis, and I'm reading Dr. Manning's Fearless Mind book. So as a coach and as a player, what tips do you have to stay mentally tough?
Yeah, for me, I feel like we mentioned, I wrestled in high school. And I feel like that's what's helped me be mentally tough. A lot of sprints, a lot of man-on-man combat. But I would say that, and also, being confident within the sport you're playing. When you're confident, you play well.
She mentioned Dr. Manning's book. He's, of course, part of the BYU athletic staff. Coach Sitake, thoughts on mental strength and the role it plays in your program?
Yeah, I mean, psychology is a big part of having the right mental health and things that you can get perform. It's a big part of what we do. So there's a huge focus on us. And for me, the best thing I can say is you're in a position with opportunities. And to show gratitude and appreciation, you might as well go out and do your best and see what happens. But it's also not a bad thing, like what Blake was saying, to relish the grind of it all, too. So sometimes it could be difficult, the training, and then nobody cares about training, but you should have fun doing it.
All right. Thanks, audience. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. As we take another break, here's this week's BYU football trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU athletics. In BYU's Cotton Bowl meeting with Kansas State back in 1997, this BYU player set a Cotton Bowl record for sacks that still stands with 6 in that game. Who was the player? The answer coming up right after this. More BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Welcome back to BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Here's tonight's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU athletics. In the Cotton Bowl of 97 against K-State, this BYU player set a Cotton Bowl record that still stands. He had 6 sacks in the game. Who was it? Kalani nailed this during the break. Off the air, the answer, Shea Muirbrook. 6 sacks in a single game. Second place is still only 3 to this very day. BYU and K-State coming up this Saturday. It'll be the first time since 1977 that K-State has played in Provo. Let's take a look at the broadcast schedule for this game. BYU Sports Nation Game Day and BYU's Cougar Pregame Live on the radio both begin at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. The game at 10:30 on ESPN and BYU Radio. And then you can stay with BYU Radio and tune back to BYU TV for postgame coverage immediately following the game Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. As BYU takes on K-State for the first time overall since 97, the Cougs will this weekend throw it back to that Cotton Bowl season, if you will, the 96 season, and wear the uniform that the Cougars wore during the 96 season. It's an all-white uniform. Now, in the Cotton Bowl game, they wore the blue jerseys, white pants, but earlier in the season, in fact, at Washington, as it's noted there, they wore the all-whites. But the black drop shadow was the distinctive part of this uniform, and including a black stripe on the helmet as well. So you guys are throwing it back. I think Tyler Batty was the model for these in the offseason. Blake, your thoughts on the throwback duds?
Yeah, I think they're awesome. I love the white, and the black backdrop on them. So I think it's going to be fun.
Kalani, thumbs up?
Yeah, I mean, it's not so slimming, but I've got no choice. I've got to wear them, you know. But just me being selfish. But, no, I think the guys are going to look good. They're going to play good. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Great to have you guys here. Kalani, good luck this week. And, Blake, thank you as well. Folks, have a great week. Enjoy the game Saturday. Go Cougs.